Good morning. I'm Aaron Winowiski, and my role here, my job is to equip you for your ministry, to teach you to obey everything Jesus commanded. And boy, we have a doozy today. We are talking about what love does, because, you know, we often talk about love as a feeling, and we kind of know how love feels. It's that longing for something. It's that chemical connection that happens inside of us that makes us want to be connected to other people. But what does love actually do? There's all kinds of fascinating clues about how to recognize love. And as I pointed out last week, the first instance that we see of the word love in Scripture is between a father and a son. We just sang a song to God saying, "You're a good, good father." So what we're going to do today is we're going to focus in on what love does, and it's really going to focus in on a parenting relationship. It's not just a message for parents, though. It's a message for anyone who, yes, happens to be a parent, who happens to ever have had a parent, who ever has lived in a society where there are people who are in authority above you. Because what we're going to see is that love does something different depending on your position in a relationship. If you don't know me or my story, I can catch you up a little bit. I've got five kids. Three of them, my wife and I adopted from Ethiopia when they were 11 and 12 years old. Now they're 20 and 21. And off in apartments on their own. Three of my five are in their own apartments, and one is in college. I know I look way too young. Thank you for saying that. And then my daughter Sophie, there she is. She loves when I point her out. Is 16, a junior in high school. So my wife and I have been through some parenting stuff. There was a point where we were at family camp. Early on in this, in our adoption adventure, it was like, that was like a few months after we had adopted. We went to family camp together at Crescent Lake Bible Camp, and it was difficult. My son, who we had adopted, he had never had a dad before, and I tell you what, that's an adjustment. And the adjustment happened there, during that week. I happened to also be reading a book at that time called Shepherding Your Child's Heart. And in that book, there was a diagram, which is very similar, but not exactly to the diagram that you have in your program. And in fact, I know I tend to like the lights down a little bit, but Chad, maybe just special for today, so that people can see the can see their diagram and can fill in the blanks. I ran across something that looks similar to this. Now, I made it my own and have developed it and everything. I don't want to give credit. I want to give credit to where it came from. And this has become, for me and for a number of other people in this church, like Heidi said, a lot of us have this diagram hanging in our refrigerator somewhere. And it just is helpful to revisit and to remember what love does. And really, the message today is also about alignment of authority. And a lot of times we don't think of authority and love in the same sentence. Let's take a look, though. Let's dive in. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 4, we see instructions to the Israelites. "Listen, O Israel. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Love God." Jesus said, this is the first and greatest commandment. Another is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So it's important for us to know, what does love do? Not just do I feel like I love God. What does someone who says they love God, what do they do with their strength? What does this look like in your soul, in your heart? And he says, "And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands I'm giving you today." That's part of what love looks like, what love does, committing yourself to the commands that the Lord has given. And he goes on, "Repeat them again and again to your children. talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Keep these commands in front of your children. We are all, if you think of it this way, satellites around one sun. When God is the center of our lives, we're in orbit around Him. We're staying near to Him. Whatever's the center of your life is what you're worshiping, is what you're loving. So if God is the center of our lives, as He says here, if you happen to be a parent, you're like a planet and your children are like little moons. Right now, you are the center of their world. And as you stay close to the sun, you're keeping them close to the Lord. That's what God would have us do. Because so many things can throw us out of orbit, can become idols. Even our own kids can become an idol in our lives, can become more important to us than who God is. And believe me, I understand that challenge. So stories, I had to wrestle through it, like which, there's so many, but I'll say this. It was easier when my biggest challenge with my kids was trying to teach them to pick their coats up off the floor and hang them up. It becomes more difficult when, as a parent, I'm not saying this applies to my kids necessarily. It becomes more difficult when, as a parent, you find contraband in their room when they are a teenager. And you have to figure out, how do I parent through this? It becomes more difficult when, when my son was little, I won't even tell you which one, but Isaiah just stomped out the door, and he had a backpack packed. And he said, I'm running away. And I was like, okay, where are we going? And I started walking with him, and he had this angry look on his face. And I'm just walking with him. Where are we going? He was like, whoa, where does Tom Petty live? He's a big Tom Petty fan. And I said, I'm pretty sure he lives in California. Okay, then I'm going to California. All right, Isaiah, it's this way. And we start walking. And eventually, you kind of work through what's going on. That's a lot easier than when a kid becomes a teenager and says, I'm leaving. Or when they're 18 and they are free to leave. There is nothing you can do. It becomes more difficult. So, The part of the aside message here is if you're committed to God as your king, congratulations, you are going to be with Him for eternity. That's the most important relationship. You'll be with Him forever. If you are married, that's the next most important relationship, because you will be with that person till death do you part. Now, death still parts you. So God is still the most important relationship. Your marriage is the next most important relationship. Your kids are the next most important relationship. Yes, you have a high responsibility to them. They will move out. They are not the center of your world. You have a responsibility to them to keep your orbit fixed around the God of eternity and to show them what it looks like to be His. Okay? All right. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to look at when God is in the center of our lives. This will follow. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents. Okay, now, if you want to put a verse up in your house, just put that part. And then like dot, dot, dot. And just say, this is what God says, children. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Children, obey your parents in the Lord is another wording, another translation. As parents are obeying the Lord, they're a safe place for kids to be and for kids to obey the parents, because what the parents are doing is an outgrowth of what God is teaching them. Verse 2, honor your father and mother. It's in quotes because this is the first command with a promise. It's from the Old Testament. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Now, it doesn't say anything about mothers there. Paul is, he picks on fathers a little bit here. He knows that we can sometimes provoke our children to anger. He says, rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. So, I've diagrammed this verse before, and I want to review it here. So, if we put it up on the screen, I know this looks a little bit goofy. We got these smiley faces. It didn't occur to me till this morning that if we had more time, Rachel, this is a project for you. You could art something for this, right? Yeah. Okay. So that's for next time. So this is children. So we see the alignment of authority here is the Lord is king. You are my king. Parents are under the Lord. Children are under parents. And if we're filling in blanks, we remember, children, obey your parents and honor them. And the reason there's a smiley face here is because when this is in alignment, when there's obedience and honor happening, this is a wise place to be. And we can read in the book of Proverbs all kinds of great things about wisdom versus foolishness. This is where the promise is things are going to go well for you. You'll have a long life in the land. Now, I don't think that this literally means you're going to have more years onto your life. What you're going to be able to do is enjoy and appreciate the blessings from God. However long your life is, you'll be able to enjoy what he's given you when you walk in wisdom, in obedience and honor to your parents, who are in obedience and honor to the Lord. So, what love does in this upward direction, is obey and honor. Let's get some definitions here. Obey. Obedience from children to parents means without argument, without excuse, and without delay. This is why you need to have this up on your refrigerator, so that you can remember when it, kids, grandkids, people who work for you, whatever, to say, okay, I asked you to do this. Are you arguing with me? Wait, are you delaying? Wait, are you giving me an excuse? Just do it. Now, what if somebody's there are important things that go on in life, like you're at the end of a level and you're battling a boss and mom says it's time to brush your teeth but you've made it this far. So what you can do is appeal, which is asking a question. I'm at the end of this level. Can I brush my teeth when I get done with this? And then mom can say, how long will it take? And then kids who have no concept of time, but give them a shot anyway, will say 5 minutes. And then mom, who knows that kids have no concept of time, will say, okay, I'll set a timer. At least that's how it would happen in our house. Okay, 5 minutes. Okay. So there's this opportunity to appeal. We'll see an example of that in Scripture later on. And what does it mean to honor? This is a biggie. Honor means using proper titles. A respectful tone. No demands. Proper titles. You know, mom, dad. As kids get older, that's something. With my kids, they'd, there's a skit online where there's a guy who says in a funny way, he says, "You done messed up, Aaron." And my kids thought it would be funny if they would occasionally say that to me. And I think it's funny too. I've got a t-shirt that says it. "You done messed up, Aaron." It's just somebody who's not pronouncing my name correctly. But often that's when they ask me, like I'm at the store, I'm at Papa Murphy's, and they'll say, "What name can we put on it?" And I'll say Aaron, but I hate when they spell it like E-R-I-N, A-R-R-O-N, A-R-O-N-N. Like, so sometimes I'll say Aaron, A-A-Ron. I think it's funny, and it's funny to see when people laugh, but my kids are not allowed to say to me, "You done messed up, Aaron." I know it's funny, but that's not how we're going to operate. Proper titles. Respectful tone. What you say and how you say it. I don't know how many times I've heard Michelle say that in our household. What you say and how you say it matters. No demands. Sometimes kids especially as they get older, have a hard time submitting themselves, that's part of this authority, submitting themselves enough to ask for something. It's more of an announcement of a need. "I need $5 for something that's happening at school tomorrow." "Okay, what do you plan to do about that?" "Well, could you give me $5? "Well, I'm sure you're asking politely." You know, because there's this differentiation process that happens as kids get older where they become their own person and they don't like to be a part of this. I know we don't get that at all because we don't act that way to God, right? Yeah, we do. They're trying to become their own person. They don't want to be dependent on me. Guess what, though? They are. So you can ask for it. I know I've had this conversation. "Hey, I'm out of this or that." Okay. Are you going to ask me to get more? Forget it. Okay. And that is parenting. Welcome to parenting teenagers. So what happens then? The other circle represents loving authority out of alignment. We move out of alignment when we do the opposite. This all just comes from that passage that we read in Ephesians, but then it's supported over and over throughout Scripture. So when we disobey, when we dishonor, we move over to this sad circle, this circle of foolishness. I think it's important, just as long as I'm bringing this up, please, if you've got kids somewhere around in your life, whether they're in your own household or you work with kids in some kind of setting, kids may be acting foolishly. Please, please be careful. Never call them a fool or any name that suggests that that is their identity. Does that make sense? Because that child is not a fool. That child is a creation of God, created in the image of the Holy Almighty God. He is a gift to the world and may be acting foolishly. Is not, however, carrying the identity of a fool. Please, talk to your kids in ways that they know that their true identity is as a creation of a holy God, a poetic, artistic expression of His. Okay, so, foolishly, I know I'm going off, I got so much to tell you guys that I feel like I got to say it all. So if you end up in this circle where you've got somebody who's disobeying, who's dishonoring. When children disobey and dishonor their parents who are in alignment with the Lord, they put themselves in danger of difficulty and hardship. Proverbs 10:8 says it this way, says the wise are glad to be instructed. The wise are glad to be instructed, but babbling fools fall flat on their faces. This is the flat on your face circle. There is wisdom and there is foolishness. Remember in Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up, and these are the next blanks you're going to fill them up. Bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Proverbs 15:5 says, only a fool despises a parent's discipline. Whoever learns from correction is wise. So there's this corrective action that happens. Proverbs 13:24, those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. I know some of you are feeling a little bit anxious about this. I want to be sure that we don't confuse discipline with abuse. The writer of Proverbs assumed that there would be a rod involved. And I am telling you that discipline can take many forms, not just corporal punishment. You got to know and love your kids. Discipline is different from abuse. Discipline comes from love. Love disciplines. It sees somebody flat on their face and says, I want to help that to come back into a positive circle here. Discipline is the belief that someone has good in them that is going to be unlocked when that person is under this loving nurture and protection. It acknowledges and it values the individual. It's a manufactured consequence that helps us protect from the more serious consequences that would come from us continuing along our course. So the pain that a child feels from a parent's harsh tone and firm hand is important for the child who thinks that it's fun to play in the street. The actual consequences of playing in the street could be so bad that we manufacture consequences that will teach them to not go that way. That's discipline. Now that can be a timeout, that can be losing privileges, and I'm not saying that categorically that there is no place for spanking. I will tell you that with some kids, there is no place for spanking. With some parents, there is no place for spanking. If you do it out of anger, you're doing it wrong. Abuse sees the other person's individuality as a frustrating inconvenience that's getting in the way. I need to somehow control them so that I can get my way. a good check on this is, if Jesus were here, would he approve of how I'm handling this situation? We also need to think about how we're feeling in different situations, because none of us is perfect. What is behind, if I'm feeling frustrated and angry, what is behind that frustration and anger? Is it honoring to God and nurturing to my child? If not, where's it coming from? What is it? Parents need to check their alignment with the Lord. And don't confuse instruction with control or manipulation. Manipulation is self-centered. It's a counterfeit of love. Instruction, on the other hand, cares for the other person, shows them the path to restoration. At some point, as kids grow up, we shift from saying, I won't let you go outside until you have a coat on, which parents, we have every right to do. I mean, our kids don't know necessarily what the right thing to do is, so we instruct them. As they get older, it sounds more like, you should think about wearing a coat. It's cold out. And at that point, you have trained them enough that if they are going to go out and be cold, cold will be their instructor. Let them experience the consequences on their own. Now, these are important for all of us. I know I'm talking about children and parents. Jesus says in Mark chapter 10, verse 15, I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. We need to understand that as we're talking about this, we're talking about the relationship with parents, we're also talking about our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And the alignment of authority here, what this does is it shows us that love, this direction, honors and obeys. Children, obey your parents. Honor your father and mother. We are to obey the Lord, to honor Him, to love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, here's the thing about love. We know God loves us. Does that mean He is to obey us? No. Not any more than parents are to obey their children. Please, parents, get that one flipped right side up. We see that, though. We see parents who obey their children, don't we? In stores and, you know, give me this, give me this, give me this, give me this. Well, fine, okay, all right. That's upside down. So what does love do this direction? Love provides. Love protects. Love nurtures. God gives us what we need. He invites us into relationship. He invites us to ask Him for things, not to demand, not to try to make Him obey us. Oh, I got to jump ahead a little bit. If you want to write it down for future reference, there's a great account of what happens when things get out of alignment in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 1 through 9, but I'm not going to go there right now. I'm going to jump ahead. I told you that I was going to give you an example of appealing, and I know our Club 45ers are going to like this. When you're thinking of things in these terms, you'll see them come up in Scripture. If you read through the prophets in Scripture are all about Israel, God's people, His children, coming out of alignment, and the prophets are there to discipline and to bring God's discipline and instruction to bring them back into alignment. So much of Scripture is about this. Michelle just finished reading Ezekiel, and we got this example in Ezekiel where Ezekiel appeals, and I appreciate this. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 28, all around him was a glowing halo like a rainbow shining in the clouds on a rainy day. This is what the glory of the Lord looked like to me. When I saw it, I fell face down on the ground, and I heard someone's voice speaking to me. He fell face down on the ground because he understood his position in the relationship. He understood he was in the presence of one who's to be honored and obeyed. And so he takes a posture of humility. That's what he did. to express love and adoration and honor. And then God gives some strange instructions later to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 4, starting in verse 12, he says, prepare and eat this food as you would barley cakes. While all the people are watching, bake it over a fire using dried human dung, as you do, as fuel, and then eat the bread. Then the Lord said, this is how Israel will eat defiled bread in the Gentile lands to which I will banish them. God is putting a picture that, to help discipline this group of people. And he says, cook your food over human dung. And then in verse 14, Ezekiel says, oh, sovereign Lord, must I be defiled by using human dung? For I've never been defiled before. Like this would be, we think it's gross. It's grosser than gross to Ezekiel. It makes him unclean. From the time I was a child until now, I've never eaten any animal that died of sickness or was killed by other animals. I have never eaten any meat forbidden by the law. He's saying, I've tried to obey you all my life, God, and I'm afraid that doing this thing kind of breaks my streak. Is there any other way? So he appeals to God. And then in verse 15, all right, the Lord said, you may bake your bread with cow dung instead of human dung. Okay, all right. So Ezekiel appeals. You understand the appeal, though. It's not a refusal. It's still honoring. He's still willing to obey. He knows that God loves him enough, though, to hear his appeal. And if God said, no, Ezekiel, you do what I told you, Ezekiel would go, okay, that is what I will do. To wrap things up, some of us, as we hear about this, we realize we need to get back into the happy circle. Whether it's with our parents or it's at work or with God, we need to listen to wise instruction. We need to receive discipline. Discipline like an athlete receives from a coach, like a child receives from a parent, like a disciple receives from Christ. And some of us need to apologize. Because we've been in a situation where we haven't been doing our part in this. We haven't been using our God-given authority. We've let things get turned upside down. We need to apologize to our kids for not having the courage to protect them from foolishness, to let them dishonor and disobey. You might need to apologize to people who work for you. You've been too lenient. It's caused the organization to suffer. You've been given a responsibility and you haven't been holding up that responsibility. You might be a parent or a child who needs to apologize to a parent. You might be an employee who needs to apologize to an employer. Oh, I know I've been resistant. I know I've had a negative tone. I'm sorry. I'm going to do better. And we also need to take an inventory of our idols, the things in our lives that distract us from loving God with all our heart, soul, strength, and replace those idols. That's what love does. We show love to God when we honor and obey Him. And He shows love to us when He instructs and disciplines us towards a life where things will go well. And we live within His provision. Let's pray together. God, we didn't do anything to deserve Your love. You created us as a masterpiece that would honor You, and we have, each of us, gone astray. And yet You don't abandon us. God, even though we don't deserve it, You have expressed and poured out Your love to us in this, that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet acting foolishly, while we were worshiping idols instead of worshiping You, while we were getting our comfort from counterfeits, You didn't wait for us to come back. Christ died so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be brought back into proper alignment with you. God, I pray that today each of us would move into alignment with you, that each of us would think about what love does. How can I honor God with my life today? What command of His can I obey? Not just because I think that's going to earn me points. We know, God, that it doesn't, but as an expression of love to you. Let us be people who hear and obey because you are worthy. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.